Hello there, what's the story and welcome back. Before we get into today's topic, I just want to say a quick thanks to the guys and girls that tune in each and every week. There'd be no point in any of this without you, so your support definitely is appreciated. If you're new here, welcome. This is the High Cost Podcast. I'm a one-man band just telling stories, discussing true crime cases and sharing my thoughts on the latest trending topics that are in the news today. Every week I do a winner and wanker of the week. It's basically me just giving somebody their flowers for doing something admirable and slating somebody else for acting the ghoul. It's just a bit of crack anyway, not to be taken too seriously. Recently I relaunched the podcast Instagram account. I'll be using that to post snippets from each episode and a lot more podcast related content. But I'm definitely going to be needing more followers. More engagement on my posts. I'm trying to build a small community around this podcast, and that just can't happen without your help. Don't be thinking, meh, somebody else will do it. No. I'm talking to you. I need you to go follow thcol.pod on Instagram right now. Or just type in the High Cost Podcast, you'll see me. And wherever you're listening in, just make sure that you're subscribed. And for my Apple users, please consider leaving a short review. Even if it's just two words, type in cool podcast. It'll take you 5 seconds, good deed done for the day, and I'd really appreciate that. In regards to today's topic, let me just throw out a quick disclaimer. This is not some anti-weed campaign by any means. This is just one man's opinion. One person's experience. I have a lot of friends that work in the industry. I have a lot of friends that smoke weed every day. Nothing at all wrong with that. Maybe someday I'll be back there with you, passing the blunt, you know. But what this is just an honest, unbiased account of my experience with cannabis from a guy who has smoked every day for damn near 12 years. And I worked in the cannabis industry for what? 2.5-3 years, legally and illegally. And during the pandemic, I just decided I wanted to quit. So now I've been off it 14, nearly 15 months. So I think it's about time to share the knowledge, share my story, share my tips and tricks on how to cut out a habit that you may have become dependent on. Maybe you're trying to kick the habit yourself. Maybe you're a concerned parent who doesn't know what to do with their teenage son or daughter. Maybe you're smoking a spliff right now as I speak and you might have no intention of stopping. Either way, you're all very welcome along. It's definitely very therapeutic for me to share my story and hopefully you'll find some value in it too. Just a quick nod to the haters of the podcast, sipping that haterade. I know there's a lot of kind of judgment comes from making a podcast like this. It's actually mostly local people I'm talking to. Locals, you know, I'm trying to reach a wider audience, but the local people would fucking cut you down, like, you know. Specifically women, you know, they'd be sitting around talking about, like, oh, Smitty's making a podcast glorifying drugs and talking about weed and how good it is and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not what this is at all. And I just want to make that very, very clear. Because I get a bad rap from people going around gossiping about things, you know. And let's be honest, how educated are you on this topic? My guess is you probably know very little about cannabis. And that's okay because most people across Ireland are kind of uneducated on the topic because there is a lot of misinformation out there about it, but that's where I come in. Does it really all need to be broadcast? The answer is yes. Yes, it does. Otherwise, I feel like it'd just be disingenuous. I can't offer someone real advice if I'm not keeping it real myself. Like Ali G, keep it real. Or keep it 100, as the cool kids say nowadays. Besides, I have nothing to hide anyway. I think I turned out quite alright after 28 years, if I do say so myself. Plus, anybody looking down on me or judging me in a negative way is not a real friend to begin with, and therefore irrelevant. So with that being said, let's get into it. In order for you to understand why I quit, I think it's only right to explain why I started in the first place, and kind of give you like a rundown of the backstory and how it all progressed. So that's what today's episode's all about, and what led me to sitting here today recording this podcast. If you know anything about me, you'll know that I was listening to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre before I could even read, literally. As a very young, impressionable child, I couldn't wait to grow up and be just like Snoop Dogg, smoke weed every day and go to the strip club. I was in the playground thinking about this stuff like. I was passionate about soccer and rap music, and throughout my life that's really never changed. I was kind of forced to grow up quick, you know, like without a father figure in the house, I kind of had to find my own way. And these rappers and soccer players were like father figures to me. Honestly, I looked up to them like proper role models. I read every magazine, I watched every interview on YouTube on my old computer way before YouTube became what it is today. People I admired, I would watch how they carried themselves and base my whole image off of them. Like any child, really, I suppose. In 2003, I was 10 years old. I would style my hair like David Beckham, and I would go around acting like 50 Cent. As the years went on, it was always like, "Oh, Smitty thinks he's black, ha ha ha," just because I liked rap music. And I was heavily influenced by the guys making the rap music, you know. Fast forward to 2008, I'm in third year at school, juniors are coming up. I remember our art class, shout out to Miss Quinn. It was kind of like, okay, this is what you have to make, this is what you have to draw. You sit down at the back there and get to it. That was a double class, so we basically had 2 hours to sit around a round table and chat away amongst ourselves. We'd mainly talk about girls, soccer, and rap music. All the things that I liked. Needless to say, I didn't quite excel in art. I'm not even sure how it came up, but somebody said, "Have you ever smoked weed?" And at the time, I'm like, "Nah, bro, I'm 15. I was so naive at the time, I didn't even think you could get weed in Ireland. But I was well aware of what it was from listening to the likes of, yeah, you guessed it, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Long story short, about 4 or 5 of us decided to chip in like €12 each for a 50 bag. 3.5 grams at that time. Someone's friend of a friend of a friend of a friend dropped it off outside the school on a Friday evening. And we had the whole weekend to get baked and see what all the fuss was about. And since that weekend, I never looked back. Until now. We didn't know what we were doing, like, it took about 3 of us to roll a joint. One person holding the flashlight. The first time I put a spliff in my mouth, it was backwards. And I lit up the wrong end of it. The whole thing had to be re-rolled. Now, in my defense, it was pitch black outside. But I always say, like, you know, once you learn how to roll your own joints, that's when it gets real. You're not relying on other people to do it for you, you know? And, like, I remember one wet, cold winter's evening. There's about 5 of us standing under a small little shelter, passing a joint around. I'm thinking, like, I don't need to be out here in the cold sharing a joint with 4 other guys. I could be at home, nice and warm, with a bag of weed all to myself, watching movies. Remember, there is no man of the house to stop me. And it was easy to pull the wool over my mom's eyes. She's working full time, bless her. I basically did whatever I wanted. I had plenty of money from DJing to support my increasingly bad habit. And as I was smoking more and more, I noticed that the lads I started out with were smoking less and less. Sooner or later, I was like the only one still smoking daily. And by then, I kind of felt like at school, that's what I was known for. I was the stoner, I was the smoker, I was the man with the nudge everywhere he went. And then I started selling hash at school. I always had little blocks of hash in my school bag. Unbelievable that I was never caught. And they started calling me Pablo. Nah, that's a lie. They didn't. But I definitely did think I was the shit at that time. All the rappers that I was listening to were rapping about selling drugs. So I felt it like it was the cool thing to do at that time. My brother Marco Bowles, rest in peace. I remember smoking with him and a few others up behind the van outside the sixth year area in Christians. If you know, you know. He was showing us how to exhale smoke circles or smoke rings, you know. Which I still can't do to this day. My trick was hit the J and inhale the smoke through my nose like Snoop Dogg. And I'll never forget Mark saying, "Isn't Smitty just a proper smoker? Like, it actually suits him to smoke." And at that time, I really felt like I was just born to smoke weed. And then Wiz Khalifa burst on the scene with more weed propaganda in every song that I was listening to, you know. I kind of stopped caring about sport and really, like, leaned into the cannabis culture and stoner lifestyle. My first girlfriend, she gave me the boot because she didn't like me getting stoned all the time, which is fair enough. But then she started kind of bunking on with all my friends, and that really hurt me at the time. Like, I was very down on myself. I started becoming an angry, depressed adolescent. It wasn't long until my mom started noticing a bit of a change in me. And then later, Mark passed away, unfortunately, and I was completely torn apart. Like, we all were. The whole school, the whole of Glanmire, everybody. So after that, my mom started getting extremely concerned about me. And as any good parent would, she went to go find help. I had to go see a counsellor for 2 years, with the primary focus being to get me to stop smoking weed before I do irreversible damage to my brain, which was still developing at the time. She knew about the weed. She's not stupid. She could smell it. Plus, she found all the paraphernalia in my room. Like, it was a big crisis at the time. Shane's on drugs. Let's get him some help. Especially after what happened to our boy Mark. The school, our parents, they were definitely keeping a close eye on all of us as a group to make sure we didn't get any ideas, you know. In hindsight, the support was unbelievable. But I was a real hothead at the time. I kind of rebelled against it all. I felt like I didn't need help. I always said, like, I didn't need help until people started telling me I needed help. That's when I started acting out. And that was around the same time head shops started popping up around Cork. So I started using stuff from there. I started dabbling in other drugs and I started smoking synthetic weed. I was acting way out of character. I even started robbing people, which is really shameful. My counsellor and GP collaborated one day and they decided to put me on antidepressants. Now, it said on the packet strictly over 21. I was only 17. I thought it was completely unnecessary and kind of extreme, but I took the doctor's advice. The first day I got prescribed medication, I crushed up a tablet and I snorted it to see if there was any whack off it. That's the kind of guy I was now at this time. I used to leave the counsellor's office and go straight to the head shop and pick something up. I'd be drunk and high within an hour of meeting my counsellor. There were some dreadful side effects from that medication I was on, and in my mind, the counsellor had made things 100 times worse. I still think to this day, like, I had no business being on that medication. Imagine how fried my head was at that time. A young fella, 17, smoking weed, drinking, taking antidepressants, plus throwing the stuff from the head shops. Like, that was a really, really dark time in my life, not gonna lie. And to me, the whole counselling thing just never felt genuine, you know? Paying some old man €60 a week, he couldn't care less what I get up to as long as he's getting paid. And we're talking about weed. He's probably never even seen weed or smoked weed in his life. That's why I really feel like I am the man to listen to when it comes to this subject, because I've lived it. I have lived it. I may not be a licensed therapist, but I have the experience that they can't teach you in school or college. And to be honest, I wish I had someone like me when I was 17, but I didn't, and that's why I'm doing this. Now this whole story will come full circle over the next few episodes, you just gotta bear with me a bit. I eventually became more and more open to the counselling, and he did help me out a lot, in fairness to him. Together we made a plan to get me off the medication, and a plan to get me off everything else that I was doing. The head shops were shut down, and that's probably the best thing that could have happened at that time. And I still smoked weed every day, but I kind of started getting my shit together, slowly. I stopped hanging around with some undesirables, and I reconnected with some of my real friends. I went on to do a good leaving cert in Hewitt, and then into CIT, where I eventually got my business degree. But before we wrap it up here, I just want to be very clear on how reliant I was on cannabis. Every day, before and after school. Going into after school study, baked. Doing the actual leaving cert exams, baked. We used to say, you study high, take the test high, you get high scores. The same in CIT. All day, every day, walking around campus smoking weed. Every job I had going on through college. Even job interviews, I would smoke weed just before it. But by then I had built up such a high tolerance that it was kind of undetectable. Some people have a smoke and they look baked automatically. I was lucky I never had that problem. Rochestown Park, working behind a busy bar. I was high as fuck every shift. And on the off chance I didn't have a nudge, it'd be a really bad day at work. I used to be kind of sniggering to myself, like I'm working in customer service, dealing with customers every day. Little do they know how baked I really am. It came to a point where I wasn't even getting baked anymore. I just felt like I had to smoke or I wouldn't be able to work. If I'm not baked, I'm all nervous and awkward and just never really feeling 100%. I used to drive here, there and everywhere, smoking while I drive, as if it was legal. Nights out, I would never go out to a bar or club without my little stash. I'm in the smoking area, sparking up pinners all the time. Even just day-to-day activities, if I had to go down to Middleton for something, I'd have to roll something up for the journey. Probably the best example I would give is the cinema. Me and my friends were going to watch a film at 8 o'clock. I'd have to leave the house at 6 o'clock. 2 hours earlier to pick up a bag, so I'd have enough time to go pick it up, smoke 2 joints minimum. There's no way I'm going to the cinema unless I'd had a smoke. And that's just a very sad way to be. This went on for years. It's actually kind of unbelievable that I'd never got caught with it by the guards. There were a few close encounters, but I never actually got caught. I'm not saying any of this to sound cool or sound like a mad thing. I'm just saying this to emphasize how dependent I was on cannabis to do everything. I didn't want to do anything if I didn't have it. I depended on weed to be happy. I depended on weed for my work performance. I depended on it to help me out with social anxiety. People say it's non-addictive, like physically maybe, but mentally you definitely do get addicted to it, like, or dependent on it, as I like to say. I know this because there were many times I tried to quit, but I just couldn't. Like, I'm smoking, I didn't want to be smoking, but I felt like I had to. And I might go, like, maybe 3 days, but then I would just fall back into my old routine. So yeah, I smoked a lot of weed. And that's before Canada. I was already smid merrily by the time I went to Vancouver in 2018. Over there, where it's legal, I continued my goal of getting stoned every single day, but there was more options introduced. Edibles became a big part of the routine. Concentrated cannabis in the form of shatter, I'd smoke that using a dab rig. I had a few great years working as a bud tender, selling weed all day, smoking weed all day, talking to customers about weed all day. I was in my element, like, doing what I truly loved. People over here think like, oh, the only people that smoke weed are teenagers, gurriers, or wasters. Most of my customers were like old rich ladies coming to me about their back pain. And it's a disgrace that it's not legal here yet, in my opinion. In fact, it makes no sense for it to not be legal. What gets me is just how alcohol gets a free pass and weed is deemed as dangerous, you know? Not even that, but alcohol is advertised and celebrated in Ireland, but you're a scumbag if you smoke weed. The hypocrisy is actually embarrassing, like, in my opinion, and it just comes down to pure ignorance and a lack of education on this particular topic. You're probably asking yourself, well, if you loved it so much and you're so in favour of it being legalised, why would you quit? That, my friend, will be answered on next week's episode. Winner of the week goes to Kanye. It has to. I did a podcast a few months back where I broke down my top 10 favourite rappers of all time. Kanye West was like number 9 on my list, but since then he has climbed that ladder. Has to be top 5 by now, possibly top 3. He's a genius, a walking W in my eyes. Everything from the clothes to the music to the tech. It's absolutely genius. There's just no other way to say it. He's like Michael Jackson, Steve Jobs, and Ralph Lauren rolled up into one person. And he's extremely underappreciated. Even I didn't fully appreciate Kanye West until recently. Between that STEM player that he put out and the new Netflix documentary, I think it's only right that we give Kanye West his flowers this week and announce him winner of the week. It's a fucking fantastic documentary. The lad Coody did a great job on it. Honestly, one of the best I've watched now in a while. It'd actually give you goosebumps listening to a young Kanye talking 20 years ago about his plans for the future. Because you look at him today and he's like completely surpassed any of that. But he knew, like, he had this vision in the early 2000s that he was going to do all this. And now he's the richest black man in America. A walking W. It's hard not to love the man. I really like the part where he's going around showing everyone his song, Through the Wire. Pharrell listens to it and walks out of the room in disbelief of how good the song is. Like, I'm honestly glad to have grown up watching Kanye because I think 100 years from now people will be mentioning him in the same conversation as like Michael Jackson or Prince. I even think he surpassed those two by now. The man is, like I say, a living legend. Now, I hate giving Wanker of the Week to a girl, especially after International Women's Day the other day, but I came across this story and I just couldn't ignore it. Marcela Iglesias, that's a cool ass name. She spent $83,000 to look like Pamela Anderson. She got surgery to look like Pamela Anderson after watching Pam and Tommy. Talking about her decision to change her look, she said, and I quote, "Ever since I was young, I thought Pamela was the most beautiful woman. I was infatuated with her in Baywatch." Finish quote, by the way. Now, I'm okay with a boob job. I'm okay with a few tattoos. Fuck it. Get your lips done. Go all out. No problem. But spending €83,000 on surgery to look like somebody else is just sad. And the worst part about it is, she doesn't even really look like Pamela Anderson that much. It's like ordering Pam from Wish.com. You gotta feel sorry for her though on some level. Obviously, she wasn't happy with who she was, so she decided to transform herself into her favourite celebrity. She should have spent that money on a counsellor. Maybe I'll give her my guy's number. But like, in all seriousness, I was just talking about looking up to celebrities a while ago and, you know, being very impressionable and looking at them as role models and stuff like that. But imagine me paying $83,000 to look like Beckham, for example. I'd have to get way more tattoos. I'd have to get a hair transplant. I'd have to get my jawline broken and reconstructed. And I'd have to lose probably like 70 pounds. Yeah, 83k, mate. Cheers. Just be your own person and try and be comfortable in the skin you're in. The reason she gets wanker of the week is for talking about it as if it's a normal thing to do and acting like it's not a deeply sad psychological crisis. I hope she kept the receipt and I hope she finds God. So that's going to do it for me. I hope that episode wasn't anything too heavy for you. Same time next week. Be good. God bless. And just chill to the next episode.